Yes, it broke my heart. It destroyed me. But I say that it also got me back to me. And it was like one day when like the dust settled and I was like a little bit more skinny and tan and I could like settle in. I was like, wow, thank you.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Gin and Toxic. Woohoo! We're back, baby.
It's a fucking great episode, guys.
Yeah,
holy
guys.
Holy shit.
Amazing episode ahead. Like, we're literally just hopping right into this.
Freaking out about it.
Yeah, listen, we have been meaning to have this girl on for forever, Ramona Sidlow. She is an astrologer, a self-adoration
Yeah.
advisor. I think that was the title. Yeah, yep. An astrologer. I met her at a Astrid and Mew event when I was getting my ear pierced. They also had her there like doing general readings. And I was talking to her about coming on Gin and Toxic for the longest fucking time.
Because you guys know Christina's super into astrology. Like, I Christina's super into it.
So yeah, exactly.
Made sense.
So it was like right on my alley. So I've been talking to Lily about it for a while. I was talking to Ramona about it. And we finally did an episode with her today. And we just wrapped up the episode, which you guys will hear in a bit. It was virtual because she's in Hawaii. But hopefully we'll have her on in person also. Do another round of astrology, a little lightning round in a few. Future episode, yeah. But what a fucking interesting episode, because there are some things that we need to address at the beginning of this episode that she talks about in the episode.
I'm scared, you guys.
And yeah, ew. It's just overall really great one. We talk about dating, sex, relationships, how it relates to astrology. She goes over me and Lily's chart, me and Lily's compatibility with each other, like, yeah, she said we're compatible.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, she said that Lily is a queen and I'm a boss. Yeah. So like, love that for us.
That's so accurate because like people could think those two are the same things, but they're not.
No, they're not.
Because I have a hard time being like bossy, but I'm like, I just know I'm a queen.
Yeah. But, like, no, 100%. But I
sometimes
have no...
you forget that you're a fucking queen, but you know you're the boss.
Yeah, like, I'm a bitch, baby. Period. I'm a boss. Bitch, I'm a girl boss.
Okay,
boss babe,
reel it in, reel it in, perfect,
boss babe. But anyways, guys, yeah, so great, yeah, so great episode ahead. But obviously, before we get into the episode, let's start with toxic thing of the week.
You gotta love it.
Or actually, wait, who's usually gonna break when the news?
Have, like, when we have like major news in our personal lives, like I've never been like so scared to like.
Well,
share
you did it,
it
once. I did it too many times.
It's just weird. Like, I'm like, ew, I hate it. But I guess I'll, should I just do it? Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
All right. Ready? Drum roll.
My toxic thing of the week is that I got dumped.
Woo!
In the middle of the night.
Yeah!
I am loving
once again,
life
a
right
G&T
now.
Girl is single.
Okay, so like, thank God for the show, right? Like,
right.
I am about to carry this shit on my motherfucking back.
Once again, one of us has to be single.
Yeah, like, it's just really good for the brand. It's so good. Like, when we get married, the show's done. Like,
yeah, like,
you
the show
I mean?
Just has to end. Like,
yeah, so. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get, like, too into the details yet because this shit is raw. Like, this shit is raw. But, yeah, so got dumped. I am traumatized and
yeah,
I
guys,
am going through it.
Yeah, it was very, it was very random, sudden, abrupt. Yeah, Lily texted me at, this is like
2 in the morning.
Yeah, like a week or so ago, whenever it happened. She texted me at like 2 in the morning. It was like, hey. don't panic, but I got dumped. Just give me a phone call when you wake up.
Yeah.
I woke up at 8 in the morning. I was like, I know this bitch isn't up though, but I text her. I was like, what the fuck? And I tried calling her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she FaceTimes me and she's like, I got dumped literally in the middle of the night.
You guys, for 2 days after, I literally felt nothing.
Numb.
Like, I didn't cry.
It was a little concerning.
It was so concerning. And I remember my roommate Ryan was so funny. She was just like, this is gonna hit you like a bus.
Yeah, I knew it was gonna hit you eventually and you'd start like feeling the feels, but you know, when something that sudden happens and it just shocks your body and you can't really like properly feel emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I would say, so Saturday night we went out, I literally was giving, fuck, what was, I was giving like mental breakdown, grippy sock energy, like fully just took like 7 shots, 5 drinks, got home, blacked out so bad. Like, and then Sunday, me and my roommate woke up. We were both so hungover. I had the shakes. And then oh my God, just the water work. Sunday was just a fucking mess.
Oh, you're talking about when you like snapped out of shock.
Because like Saturday, I was like, I'm fine. I'm going to go out. Yeah. And then when I was out, like any man that looked at me, I was like, stop looking at me. And I don't want to look at you. Like, I was just like freaking out. Mm-hmm. Also, like he just went like no contact with me right away. I'm like blocked and everything.
Guys, I'm telling you, it's giving Christina X Martine in January of this year.
No, energy. Literally so abrupt. Yeah. No contact. Trauma.
Yeah.
Trauma. Like, whoa. Like, mm-hmm. I literally like picturing how you were after that breakup. And it is so like accurate to how you were just like shook.
I was, for a while.
And then you were super emotional.
No, like, yeah, exactly. Like, I was like pretty emotional off the bat, but I was
also shook.
More so. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah,
because we were
for like 2 weeks.
Confused.
For 2 weeks I was crying, but I wasn't crying out of sadness. I was crying out of frustration and like what just happened.
Yeah,
you know, which I feel like is kind of like, you know, your vibe.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like I just like have to be like I could not come on this episode and not tell you guys because like you guys are like our besties. You know everything that goes on in our life and like obviously. I'm not going to get into like the who, what, why, when, whatever, but like, I just want to be transparent and like, yes, I'm okay. Everything's fine. But I will say.
What if you were just like, I just want to let you guys know that like, nothing is okay. Yeah. I won't be all right.
No, like well.
You might need to check on me.
No, definitely check on me. Definitely send me like a DM. Make me smile. I might cry a little. That's fine.
Yeah.
But this is definitely, I mean, you guys know, if you know, I guess, that earlier this year I went through another breakup with a guy that I dated for 3.5 years. But somehow this one that just happened last week is like 10 times harder.
I think, sorry, totally interrupting you.
No,
I
just
feel
like
the reason that this one stings more is because it was so sudden. And I feel like 3-year guy, it was bubbling
it was a long
over
time
for
coming.
A long. Yeah, like we knew that shit was going to end like a year before it ended.
Yeah, 100%. And like also it was dealt with like for the most part that was dealt with very properly. Like we had a lot of conversations. We ended on a really good note, whatever. But this was just messy. And I definitely like loved him more than I've ever loved a guy before. So yeah, it was just like. We were also like best friends as well. So it was also just like having him like just ripped out of my life. Like it'd be like if Christina like just ghosted me, like you guys, I would not be okay. Like obviously not to that, you know, but it was like he was a friend. So I don't know. It's just a lot of emotions this week. It's been a pretty tough week. Obviously have like a lot of healing ahead of me as well. But like I'm just really grateful that I'm going through this at a time in my life where my career is the best it's ever been. My friends are the best they've ever been. You know, I have Aww. The most solid people around. You guys do not understand. I'm not going to cry right now. The way my friends have showed up for me this past week is unbelievable.
Well, like, I've never experienced anything like it before. Immediately when you texted me and told me that it happened, the first thing I did was went to Kareem, texted him and was like,
oh, name
you
drop.
Don't. Oh,
fuck it.
Fuck it. That's his name. Bow, 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 bow. But the first thing I did was text him and be like,
All of our plans are canceled.
I know. Well, originally he was supposed to go to Philly for work, remember? Yeah, so I was like, all right. So I texted him and I was like, all right, well, you're in Philly for work. I'm doing damage control. But then he texted me and he was like, I'm not going to Philly anymore. I don't have to. And I was like, all right, well, I'm still on damage control this week. So expect not to see
Christina
me.
And Jeff and my roommate, we all had like a huge slumber party on Friday. And then we like hung out Saturday night.
We watched Pitch Perfect.
Yes, we watched Pitch Perfect. It was so fun.
Side note.
Yeah, and everyone's just like taken such good care of me and just like even like I've just filled in like my hometown friends and my family and everyone's checking on me like 20 times a day because I think everyone just knows like compared to my last breakup, this is just hitting a little different for a lot of reasons. But yeah, it's really fucking sad. But you know what? Ultimately, these things always happen for a reason. And I know it was the right thing. Like, and that's the only thing I think that's really going to get me kind of through, knowing that it's ultimately the right thing probably for both of us. I just don't think we're in the same emotional, you know, stability part of our life. Like, we're just not aligning on a lot of things. So I think it's for the best, but it still just sucks. I think it was just the abruptness of it that's really getting to me. But Yeah, I just like obviously wanted to fill you guys in, and I feel like today's episode was so appropriate for this time because obviously you'll see we have an astrologer on, and she really just like right into like my love life and like what I need in a man, and it was just so accurate and so interesting. So yeah, that's that. You know, maybe we'll spill more tea later, but like that's that for now. I'm single. Accepting applications, thank you.
Yeah, we gotta run it back. Remember when Lily was putting me on blind dates and she put me on a blind date with this like wannabe Broadway star?
That was the worst ever. I'm sorry.
I actually I was scrolling through TikToks with fucking my boyfriend the other day, and it was like, oh, like best wine bar in the West Village or whatever, and it came up with the name of the wine bar that me and Broadway guy went to, and I was like,
trauma,
dude, you don't even understand. Like that day I remember dodging his kiss so hard and running into the Uber, never forget. But just in case anybody wanted to like bring it back to me,
it's all about you.
It's all about me. I just wanted to let you guys know that my toxic thing of the week is not feeling sympathy for Lily.
Literally, she like doesn't care. She's like, Lily, he sucks.
Yes, but no. That's not, I'm just joking. Not that I don't feel sympathy for Lily, but my toxic thing of the week is that I've been bullying her a lot more than consoling her.
So much more.
Thanks. It's just so fun because like the other day I was in my Uber and I'm like going to dinner and I just like had an epiphany come across me and I texted Lily. I go, you know what's so embarrassing? You getting dumped during cuffing season.
Oh my God, that was, during cuffing season. I was like, and don't worry, I've thought that, right? I'm like, okay, perfect. It's literally cuffing season. It's,
I'm like, you want to know what's like deathly embarrassing for you?
Yeah.
And yeah, like, got dumped during
all my friends are in these like beautiful relationships. I'm like, oh, you gotta.
Nah, Lily knows that I fucking dog on her all the time. You did this with fucking when me and Martine broke up. So it's just
she
only
dogs on
right.
me. But she also sent me a picture of her fucking sobbing on Monday night.
I did,
over
guys.
My breakup. And then I was like, I was bawling my eyes out. I'm like, oh, great.
No, because Lily got me in my feels because she was obviously, that's when like Sunday night into Monday is when Lily started to actually, like the waterworks started coming. She started to like really feel the emotions. Yeah. Right. But yeah, she started feeling her emotions. And so she was like texting me all of these like things. Sorry, I almost burped. Also, sorry, side note, because like I thought about burping. I don't quick little side story. I don't know if I dreamt this or if it was real, but I think last night when I was in bed with Boy, I farted in front of him, like on like a fart that you could hear, not like a little silent fart, like it came out. And I don't know if I was dreaming to myself or if it actually happened that he said something about it.
I think he would have brought it up again today.
I don't know if he would have. Maybe, but I can't remember.
That's so funny.
And the embarrassment is just like sitting on my shoulders. Just thinking about that. Whatever. That's a side note because I was talking about burping. But back to the
R.I.P. Work Bay.
Back to the point, though. Fucking
what an era.
Lily started getting her waterworks on Monday, and she was texting me all these things that started to remind me, like all these feelings that she was feeling was reminding me of how I felt to a T.
Yeah, to a T.
At the beginning of the year when I was going through my breakup with like how it was like
we love getting
the shock
dumped.
And the abruptness and yeah, literally.
Why we love getting do dumped. Men dump? Look at us.
We're stunning.
Who is dumping? Like, are you be fucking for real right now? Like
BFFR.
BFFR.
But anyways, yeah, so she was sending me all those texts. So then, yeah, I naturally started crying.
I was
and
spiraling.
I sent her a photo and I was crying. And then the same night, my boyfriend, I was like, what are you doing after work? He's like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, come over immediately. I'm crying. He's like, why? I'm
immediately
like, because of Lily's breakup.
Yeah.
I'm crying because
I mean,
Lily got
when
dumped.
When you got broken up with, when I came here, I got in your bed and I started bawling
your eyes
out.
Yep, yeah. I vividly remember.
Yeah,
because
you were like,
all.
I'm crying. I can mean you make me cry. You know, I'm crying.
All too well.
That song is so fucking triggering now. Taylor Swift hits a little different after you get dumped. Let me fucking
I'm
tell
telling
you.
Listen, there's a reason that my top song of the year was Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Last year was a lot. you need to listen to it. I'm just like,
oh,
like,
I have been.
Well, no, I know, but like, I'm like, you need to listen to it like 226 times, like Beauty Tricky did.
I am like going through the most stereotypical breakup where like last night I was cooking dinner and I was like looking up on Spotify, like heartbreak playlist.
Oh,
and
I got them all.
Shuffled it and it was like me like sobbing to Adele making my fucking stir fry. And then the next song's like, good for you. Like, it's like the most manic. I think
I still have my breakup playlists. Yes, it's called, it's a private, is it private?
Send it to
me. Oh no, it's public. I gotta send it to you. Yeah, this playlist I made.
Send it to me.
It's called LMAO. I made it when me and boy band broke up. But I've used it on multiple occasions. It's called LMAO with a middle finger. Yeah. So funny. I still have a playlist on here on Spotify from this guy that I went on a date with once and he made me a Spotify playlist.
That's hot.
I know, right? That's, we're like, this is the one. I would do. This is the one that worked for the record label that like I'm still friends with him. It like never worked out romantically. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He fucking.
That's cute.
Yeah, not the Squad Jams playlist with everybody on it that shouldn't be on that.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Also, the irony, I sent Lily. We have a joint playlist on Spotify called Single Energy. That Lily created
when,
like,
we were both single.
When we were single a few months ago, and then we both got into relationships, and then I refound the playlist
the day,
the other day.
After I get dumped, she just sends me the link to this playlist. I'm like, thank you.
I'm like, you're gonna need this one, babe.
Thanks, Christina.
You're gonna need it.
Love you. Yeah, so here we are. Everything's fine. I've been better.
Darling. Simply darling.
Yeah. So are we though? Like,
Are we
ever? Like, am I okay? I don't know.
Did boy say anything to you about the breakup on Saturday?
He literally just looks at me and was like, heard you got dumped or something. I was like,
he's so mean.
Can I get a hug? Like, I thought we were like bestie.
Nah, he ain't gonna give you a hug.
No, that's okay.
he's just like me. Damn, you got dumped. It's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, literally like what he said. I was like, that is so fucking true. Like, I am, yeah, not my best. I'm in my heartbreak era, but catch me in like 3 months being fine.
Yes. But yeah, no, we're going to get into the actual astrology episode today.
Please,
and
enjoy.
Now when you guys are listening to the episode and
keep this in mind.
Talk about, yeah, Lily's chart and, you know, breaking up and all that stuff. Now it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. No more Leo on Leo relationships. Okay, go.
All right, guys, we have a very special guest with us here today. This one was actually a long time coming. We have Ramona Sidlow with us. She is a self-adoration advisor and astrologer. Welcome to Gin and Toxic.
So excited.
Hi, girls. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah, finally, right?
Yeah, finally. So a little bit of background about how me and Ramona met is I got a piercing done at a Astrid and Mew event, and she was doing astrology readings there. And I don't even know. You did my reading really briefly, and we just got to talking. I told her that I was a podcaster. And we just kind of formed a connection from there. And I was like, oh my God, you have to come on the show. And we've been talking about it for a while. And now that we're back into doing virtual guests, it worked out perfectly. You're all the way in Hawaii, right?
Yes, I am on Oahu in a little sleepy beach town called Kailua. So I moved here, I guess, oh my gosh, I've lived here for almost 6 years, which is kind of mind boggling because I remember coming. I'm ex-New Yorker, ex-Spotifier. I said to someone the other day, I was like, New York has my heart, Hawaii has my soul. So yeah. It's a very funny journey on how I got dropped in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we're obviously going to dive into like you and your background and everything. So yeah, we just want to hear about your life, your background, you know, you could touch on your dating life, all that, because that's obviously what we do on this show, how you got into, you know, your field of work with, you know, astrology and all of that fun stuff. Yeah. Why you wanted to explore it, kind of just like the whole spiel. Yeah.
You guys want the tea. You want the tea.
Yeah, so of course.
So about it was a little bit longer than that. So I've lived for almost 6 years, but add 2 years before that. I was working global experiential at Spotify, traveling around the world. I was a girl about town in New York City. My birthday was once in Page Six. I had access to the city in a way that everyone had. I was engaged to be married, so I was in a long-term relationship with someone who I thought was the one, you know. And
One day I woke up and realized I hated a life that I had worked really hard to get. I don't love the word manifesting because I think it's like overused, but it was a life that I really very much went for and got. But what does it matter if you have your dream job and this dream life? If you wake up every day and you're like, I hate my life. I hate what I'm doing. I hate myself. And so I had been coming to Hawaii for a while on vacation. I never, like, I would come here and see an astrologer and an energy healer and be like, yeah, I'm like healed for the year, you know, like yeah. 2 hours with practitioners and I'm like, we're good. And so as my life was shifting and changing, I just made a deal with myself. I was like, all right, dude, you can either move to Hawaii or get a new job on it. I was living in LA between New York and LA. I was like, or you can get a job in LA. Now, my resume is hot fire at the time. I can't even get meetings with like the HR department as like a hello. Like nothing is happening. And I, all of a sudden, one day I have a job, potential job in Hawaii. I have an apartment. So one day I was like, you know what? I'm going. Who cares? Let's see what happens. And I ended up going to a healing school for 3 years to study energy medicine and the effects of stress and trauma on the body, and most importantly, astrology. So I, you know, during COVID, I launched this business. It was very unexpected. You know, during that time, a lot of people were looking for different ways to explore mental health, self-discovery, how to like navigate all of it, dating yourself, everything. And astrology just became this thing that I clicked with, that I could understand. And for me, like, was the tool that helped me find myself. The more I learned about myself, the more I loved myself. It is my number one tool in dating. Like, so help me God, if I even have a crush on you, you better send those details. I think I've made jokes to guys that have been like, if you don't get the birth time to me, like, just put it on pause. So,
like, I need to do your deep dive first before we go any further.
Yeah. And astrology for me at this point, listen, all I do, I feel like dating is about learning about yourself, right? Like it's about knowing what you want, who you are, and how you want people to treat you. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I had no idea. Like I didn't know anything about myself. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know how to get there. And astrology just became something that helped me think differently, that helped me not bully myself, that helped me be like, wow, I actually have needs and they're important, and let me incorporate them into a conversation with someone of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
I date men, so with guys.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So you did like a total 360. And yeah. How long was that like time span between when you decided you were gonna like, well, you said you went to school for 3 years, but yeah. Was it a pretty immediate thing that like when you left, like, you know, you said you worked at Spotify and when you kind of like left that life behind, I guess, and you got into the astrology, was that like a really quick turnaround? No. Or were you just like one day you're just, no?
No, it was like, I mean, I still had like a pretty baller marketing job when I first moved here. I was the director of marketing for the highest grossing concert promoter in the state.
Ah, okay.
So while I was in school, I was doing this job. No, this pivot was the wildest, riskiest thing I've ever done. In my book, I'm writing a book right now, and I say, I bet it all on the rainbow, meaning like I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. Pardon my language. It's like you know, navigating a world that wasn't, you know, the structure of corporate America or, you know, I was all of a sudden the boss. And it really happened overnight. In 1 week I lost all my work and it was like, okay, now you're an astrologer. There wasn't really a ease into it. I didn't really. So no, it was wild and still it's wild, but I know I've never been so sure about something in my entire life that I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to be an astrologer.
Yeah. And I also like before you said you got into it in the pandemic when everyone was kind of like looking, like doing a lot of like self-help and mental health was like a huge thing. Because that's when I first started getting into, you know, manifestation and spirituality and astrology and all that stuff too. And I feel like it tends to take a big, like, pivotal point in your life in order to, like, branch into that or kind of, like, realize, like, you need to, like, better yourself with, like, these sorts of tools. For me, I went through a breakup of 4 years, and that was kind of, like, the tipping point for me to get into all this stuff, also right at the beginning of the pandemic.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. It was a very, once again, with somebody that I thought was, like, the one, and then we broke up, and I was, like, oh my God, like, I need to start working on myself and all that stuff. And then I obviously ended up getting it more into astrology and everything. But that's why we're here, because I know a handful of things about astrology, not nearly as much as you do. Obviously, you went to fucking school for this. So we're just, you know, excited to kind of hear you out with everything. So we'll go into just the generals of astrology now, explaining a little bit more about it, why astrology is so important, and kind of like your general overview of like why and how people could apply astrology to their everyday lives to like guide them through things.
Yes. So my first question, do you guys have an astrology app? Do you use CoStar? Do you use Pattern? Any of those?
So I used to use CoStar. I heard that it wasn't that good though. And I don't know if this was like debunked or not, but I heard that the people that created CoStar weren't actual real astrologers. Did you hear about that? I'm not claiming that's true on here, but I heard something along those lines. But I mean, well, the long story short is that I had CoStar, but I deleted it. Because I started to use just the website AstroSeek.
Oh, love.
You love AstroSeek? Ooh, yeah, but that's what I've heard is that AstroSeek is like one of like the best of the best. So I started using that website. I haven't been on it in like a minute, but usually if I'm reading my chart or something, that's what like I go to. Do you use CoStar still?
I have CoStar on my phone, okay. But I never use it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see my full chart.
I feel like it's kind of like CoStar is kind of funny though, because you like go on, it'll be like, do like buy groceries today, don't dance, don't pick up markers, like it has like all those like random things written on it. But I don't know, do you have like a preference for one of the apps to use?
No, just get an astrology reading with me. Like I
right.
Like, no,
I'm a real astrologer.
Yeah, just call me, you guys. Like I got you. I got you. No, for me it was just a little too basic for me. But I was asking because I just like to gauge how much you know about what we're about to talk about. So astrology is a very ancient tool that has been used since the Babylonians. So every culture in the world has some tie back to astrology. There's a beautiful Taschen book called Astrology. So if you're ever wandering around a bookstore, pick it up and just read the history parts. Astrology is the thing that inspired mathematics, astronomy. So it's been something that people have used for guidance for a long time. They like to say, as is above, such is below. And so as we're getting into your charts, I have two charts for both of you guys. I have your natal chart, which is an exact picture of the sky the moment you guys were born. That's why we're all so hell-bent on getting the birth time, because this is a picture of what the sky was doing at that time. And the idea is that it's here to inspire your personality, what you came here to work on, how you work best in relationships, how you communicate, all these different data points for being a human. And for me, like, I really struggle with being a person. I think it's so hard. I am like constantly up, constantly down, somewhere in the middle. And it's the idea is self-discovery. Mm-hmm. So the other chart that I pulled for the both of you guys is your transit chart. Now, the transit chart is super important because it's what the planets are doing right now. It's saying, let's see. Yeah, it's giving us ideas and insights into this moment, which is also really important. So since the sky, if you think about it, the sky is always moving, the stars are always moving, we sort of need something that helps ground us in reality. One of my astrologers, this woman, Patrice Caymans, she'll say, Ramona, if you do not roll with the vibration of the chart, you are going to get your ass handed to you. And so that's the idea. Just work. There's two sides to everything I'm about to say. There's the part where you're super awesome, and then there's the part where you're kind of a jerk or kind of low vibrational. And I'm not here to like spiritually gaslight anyone or positively gaslight anyone. Like, you are both, right?
That's what you probably should with me, though. I'm like, you know what? Tell me all the dirty. I need to fix it.
Yeah.
Fix it. Work on it.
So excited. So I thought today I would just kind of do a quick little reading on the both of you.
Okay.
And just like maybe focus on sun, moon, and rising, maybe look at like what is going on in your relationship charts, or if you guys had a question that you kind of wanted to pose to me about what's going on with either one of you, we can do that too. Yeah. You guys tell me what you prefer.
We talk a lot about relationships and like our personal lives on the podcast. So I think talking about relationship stuff would make sense. Exactly. For us.
Probably like going over like you said, like our general things like separately, and then obviously talking about like, you know, how our charts or whatever, you know, play a role into our dating lives, you know. Yeah, like help. Lily. Lily needs some help. I am taken right now. Honestly though, I started dating a man. I wish I got his birth chart. He's on a flight right now, so I can't. I know his birthday, but I don't know any of the other. I don't know the time or anything. I don't even think.
Oh, we could do a follow-up where we bring the partner up.
Right. But in general though, just like, you know, who to go for, who's compatible with us, who's not compatible with us, strengths and weaknesses in our relationships, all that stuff. We could go down the line. Also, what I just thought about too, which we originally didn't have written down, but maybe if you want to touch on it a little bit too, how me and Lily's compatibility is as like friends and as like co-hosts and stuff. If you're able to touch on that, like I said, we didn't like have that originally planned, but I just thought about that. I don't know why I didn't think about that prior.
It feels like we're soulmates, so I'd like to hear more.
Yeah, so I would like to know. But yeah, so honestly, you could kind of start wherever you feel is
okay. I got good. You guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lily, I'm going to start with you. So sun in Leo, which the sun is, where do you shine? The moon sign is your emotional expression and the rising sign is really your personality. So the sun sign in Leo, the archetype of the Leo is the queen. It is very, very big. It's large energy. It's about being really creative. It's about embodying like joy and pleasure. It's also very much like about vanity, a little too like not humble. Like
Lily's favorite saying on this show, I come on this show, I'm shocked that I look as good as I do today. Usually we come on the show though, and Lily's line is, why look simple when you could look stunning? So
tell me you're a Leo without telling you. Yes. Tell me you're a Leo without telling me you're a Leo. That's amazing.
Every time we record, I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. She's like, but why look simple when you could look stunning?
Yes. And then Christina, you're a sun sign Gemini. And the Gemini is the journalist, the storyteller, the narrator,
the jokester.
Yeah.
Podcaster.
Yeah, hello.
Exactly. And the thing about that we have to know about the Geminis is they're super indecisive. So it's like they like you, they don't like you. They're into this, they're not into this. And I try to help the Gems and say, it's not necessarily about being indecisive. It's about being having a lot of variety. Okay. So you need a lot of variety, and Lily needs a lot of places where she can really explore creatively.
Okay. Yeah.
And so if you're not like Lily, if you're not in a creative state of mind, you're going to really feel that tension. It's a fire sign. So, you know, we want like a beautiful dip deep candle burning. We don't want like a freaking forest fire. You know what I mean? And the same with Christina. If you're not talking and listening and narrating, you're going to feel a type of way. Mm-hmm. So, and they're sit close to each other on the chart. So that's a good thing. It's about, you guys are creative communicators as a whole. You have a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes I wish it was that everyone was strangers, but it's that obvious based on your charts.
Yeah.
Now let's get into the moon signs. The moon signs are how we express emotionally. So Lily, your moon sign is in Sagittarius. Christina, your moon sign is in Capricorn. Now the Sagittarius in the first house is really about, it's ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter's my favorite planet. It's again, this is more big, vast energy. It's it's big picture. You want to look at the big picture. You really need to explore, and you need to be in an environment that gives you the place where you can be a student and a teacher, mm-hmm. and sort of have these like out of this world philosophies that you align in. Now, Christina, moon sign in Capricorn, it's not the easiest placement in the eighth house. Like it's just,
oh God, okay.
like it's emotionally cold. It's like, it's constantly looking at the world as like, well, what's the system? What's the system for which I'm allowed to express? What's the, it's like this analytical systemic approach to your emotional side. So what I tell the Cappies, I'm always like, you know, it's just about climbing the mountain. It's just about hitting each plateau and then figuring out how to go further. So the archetype for Capricorn is the boss, the father. The archetype for Sagittarius is the wanderer, the philosopher.
I feel like that's good to me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was accurate.
Yeah, both of those are pretty accurate, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. And now our rising sign. So I believe the rising sign to be truly the most important thing because it's ruling the first house. Now, Christina, your rising is in Gemini. Mm-hmm. Lily, your rising is in Sagittarius. So again, you embody a lot of Gemini mm-hmm. or Sagittarius. So really learning how to work with those two energies. And you want to know what's opposite each other on the chart? Sagittarius and Gemini.
Gemini, yeah. The only reason I know that, I knew about that because I knew about this because I, for the longest time, and still kind of do sometimes, have a attraction to Sagittarius men. Always. And my last two ex-boyfriends were both Sagittarius men without like me even knowing like what their charts advance. Were and all yeah. that stuff in advance. And then all of a sudden and I always said that I was like Sagittarius and Gemini are directly, across from each other on the chart. So it makes sense. But yeah.
And I like to, when I look at that, like I don't ever want to be someone who's going to be like, oh, are you compatible? No, because there's so many other things in the chart. However, when we do talk about that polarity, that opposite vibration across totally due opposite on the chart, that is something to engage. So you guys are literally your own yin and yang.
Yeah.
What you're good at, the other person might not be, or like that. So do I think you guys are compatible? Yes, based on certain places in the chart. So before I get into the love lives, I just quickly want to look at your Mercuries because you're a podcaster. So okay, Lily, you're Leo, babe. You got a lot of planets in Leo. 1, 2, 3 planets in Leo. And then, so Mercury, how you communicate from your heart.
Okay.
From your heart. Like that is, so that's for Lily. So Mercury and Leo, it's like, it's communicating heart-centered creativity. So mm-hmm. when you can't access your words or you're having a hard time like formulating whatever it is that you're feeling, you got to get into your heart.
Yeah.
And whatever that means for you. And I say to the Leos, I have a Leo rising, so I understand this energy. It's really like, what does it mean to live heart-centered? Mm-hmm. And you guys live in New York City. It's not like you didn't pull a Ramona where you're just like laying around at the beach, like in her late 30s, like meditating. Literally, that's what I'm doing.
Sounds like a great life though to me.
I'm this close.
Like, don't worry, girls.
About today, we're literally talking about vacationing. Our friends like, we want to go to Miami. We're like, I want to go relax. Yeah. Miami, I want to go lay down.
Come, I'm the queen of laying down. I want to be like a rest.
I would love to.
Yeah, I just want to sleep. So yeah, what does it mean to be heart-centered in a very urban city like New York City? And Lily, for you, that really means like getting into your heart.
Is that like being vulnerable?
Yes, I think vulnerability. I mean, that is across the board for all of us. But when we talk about heart-centered, that is about learning to ride the wave of joy and pain.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like your happiest moments you get from the pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay.
And the creativity that expands from that. And then Christina, your Mercury being in Gemini, that is what I call a steroids placement because Mercury rules Gemini. And it's in the 12th house, which is about where you feel really imprisoned. This whole thing that you're doing is learning to talk and communicate and storytell and be a writer and, you know, processing information. And the best thing about the Geminis, is the curiosity, being so curious, being like, what is this? I wonder about this. Where, what is this? I want to talk about it. I want to listen about it.
Yeah.
Being, and remember communication is, yeah, remember communication is speaking. Obviously, one thing about the Geminis, they talk nonstop. You're probably, you should ask your mom. Yeah, they never stop talking. You should ask your mom if you were a chatty little kid, because they just don't stop talking ever.
I think so, I definitely was. You want to know what's funny too? My mom's also a Gemini. And so is my grandma.
Oh my God, love it.
Yeah, so we come from like a line of Geminis. And my mom's the same way. My mom doesn't shut up. So I'm sure that we both were going like in my childhood. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I never keep my mouth shut. I'm such a chatty Kathy. Like I used to get like, when I was talking to like my friends in school, when I was like in elementary school, middle school or whatever, I'd have the teacher yelling at me to be like, shut up. Like, so you're not too far off.
I love it. I love it. So now, so my best advice to you two as podcast partners, because listen, relationships, it's not just about love and sex and intimacy. Yes, we want all that. That is like obvious. But the relationships you have with people, that new documentary that Jonah Hill made called Stutz is so radical. Like, I highly recommend it. But they talk about, like, the guy talks about your relationship with your body, people, and yourself. So as you guys are in this partnership together, I think it's about exploring creative curiosity.
Yeah.
Okay.
And exploring that together in partnership. And, you know, when Christina is super indecisive, Lily, you got to just sort of like roll with her and be like, okay, like, cool. What about this? And kind of slow the air down. She's air sign. Hmm. And then when Lily is sort of like lit the place on fire.
Which is most days. No. Yeah. That's
true. I have a lot of fire. Literally, I have so much fire in my chart. I will burn down my whole life and just sit there and watch it burn. Don't care. So like, Lily, I got you. So, Christina, your job is to help her contain that fire a little bit.
Okay.
Contain that fire. So let's get into our love lives.
I'm like, definitely do. Yeah. I feel like I'm the peacekeeper sometimes. We both are with each other. But it depends on the situations.
Yeah.
But I tend to be, you know, if I'm freaking the fuck out, Lily will text me and be like, chill out, and then vice versa and everything. So we tend to balance each other out pretty well. So
we just freak out in different ways that are like, you're more like indecisive and you're like, oh, I don't know. But then me, I'll just start like blowing up and be like, no, this is how it is. And she's like, no, it's not. Domino
effect. And I'm like, oh my God, no, not at all. Like, calm down. Like,
yeah, the queen. Like, it's like, which queen are you from Game of Thrones? Like,
you're like, calm down, queen.
Yeah.
Like, it's all good.
Yes. Okay, so the first place that I like to start when we talk about relationships is Venus. So the first planet I really look at is Venus, which Venus is your love and your happiness. It's like one of my other favorite planets. So Christina, Venus in Cancer in your second house, and then Lily, Venus in Leo. So,
oh my God, so much Leo for you. Yeah, she's on fire. Leo, Sag.
I know.
It's a lot of fire. So, you know, Christina, you're a pretty sensitive lover. You're going to want to talk
about your
feelings. Yeah, it's that Venus placement there. And that and Cancer also rules your house of money and values. So, yeah, it's a very sweet, indecisive, tender-hearted love with that. You know, and I think sometimes too with the Cancer, it's a little too overly emotional. It's a little too like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's moody and it's like all of a sudden everything's fine and then it's like not fine. It's a lot.
Absolutely.
She's only like that with boys. Like, she's not like that in any other aspect of her life. But with boys, she's a mush.
Yeah, I'll have like, even like Lily knows, like just the other week, I'm like, Lily and my life coach, I'm like freaking out to them about like
my boyfriend's like texting and they're like, chill the fuck out. And then like the next day I'll be like, I don't know what I was complaining about. Everything's fine. And then the next day I'll be like, oh my God, he hates me.
Yeah.
The next day I'll be like, oh my God, we're in love. Like,
yeah.
That's, that is Gemini Cancer energy. Cancer. Yeah. At its core. And you know, and then Sagittarius rules your seventh house, which is the house of relationships. So again, it's about having this tender-hearted, adventurous love. You know, love that really kind of makes you explore. I mean, that's Sagittarius ruling your house of relationships is going to tell us that there is an exploration to it. Mm-hmm. So you pair that with the Gemini variety. Like, you need dates, you need adventures, you need like, yeah. God, you guys both date men, right?
Yeah.
Just making sure. So yeah, you need a guy who's gonna be like, okay, we're going on this, okay, we're doing this. Like, you really need that type of energy. So it's, yeah, like, I think
definitely true. I literally last night I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, like last night my because my boyfriend left this morning. He had to go to Arizona for work. But last night he was like, let me take you out to dinner. And I was like, well, thank God. Let's go out. Let's do something.
Like, plan it.
Like, yeah, I know. I text him. Yeah, he was like, let's go to dinner. I text him back. I go, okay, you plan it.
Like, yes.
Like, and go.
Yeah, just let him know that your astrologer told you that he needs to keep doing that in order for you to stay engaged. And then with that Venus, you know, with that Venus placement in Cancer, not only is it the adventure, but then it's like the tenderness, the sweetness, the touching, mm-hmm. the kissing, the very like sweet part.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Physical touch is definitely like one of my number one love languages. Physical touch and words of affirmation. But physical touch, I'm definitely a very like touchy, lovey person.
Mm-hmm. So, and that is Cancer ruling your second house of value, where you find value, and then your Venus in Cancer right there. So let me just look at your transit right now real quick.
Yeah, no worries.
So
I'm learning so much about myself.
It's all about you.
I know. So funny. I know. It all makes so much sense.
Well, there's you, right now, Sagittarius, there's nothing transiting in your house of relationships. So you just have, when we look at the outer wheel, it's ruled by Sagittarius right now. So it's just, I think for you currently in relationships, just be explore. Mm-hmm. Make it an adventure. Especially, I don't know if you guys are like, how new you're dating, but
like literally we haven't even been dating a month. Like, like we've been talking for like 2 months, but he only officially asked me out like Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like very fresh. Yeah.
I got dumped.
Adventure.
Yeah. And I literally got dumped like a week ago. So
brutally dumped.
I should just go to Lily's chart where things make more sense. I just got like dumped / ghosted like 2 weeks ago. So I'm right there with you. Let's go. Let's go.
I got dumped. I had to.
Well, listen, not for nothing. I wish you wouldn't have just told me that, because you have Mars.
Oh, no.
No, because because I like to not know anything before I say anything, but you have Mars retrograding through your house of relationships right now.
Oh, you're in a retrograde.
That's crazy, and actually.
Those of you who are listening, what the F is a retrograde? Essentially, energetically, things are moving a little bit backwards. And so people love to talk about Mercury retrograde. I'm always like, you guys, there's way bigger fish to fry than that one. But so essentially you're being asked to revisit something. You're being asked to look at it again. Mars represents the planet of war.
Yeah.
Yep.
Transiting through your house of relationships in the sign of the story. Girl, it's like, yep.
Yeah, she's been needing to revisit
this
for a minute.
Yeah.
Reevaluate this man. No offense to him, but
so much offense to him, actually.
So much, actually, no, yeah, I take it fully back. Lots of offense to him, but yeah, no, so that makes so much sense.
It was a very abrupt breakup, like just. So I'm not prepared for it at all, but I'm trying to look at the positives.
Yeah.
And well, you know.
Let's work with that. I don't want to say let's look at the positives because it's not positive. Because
no. It's, no, right. It's not really.
It sucks. Like, it hurts. It makes a mark on our heart, like, regardless of whatever. Like, that's dismissive to just, like, be like that, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. How dare you do that to our queen? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's no. So when we look at it, like, what I really would like to say I specialize in is saying to my clients, like, all right, Lily, what did you learn? You want to go to war with relationships right now? Cool, let's go. Getting dumped is like an act of war. It's awful, right? What did he teach you? And listen, you don't have to answer this right now if you don't want to, but it really is our darkest hours, the moments where we're like woman down. And I was this guy, this loser guy, he's lucky that dumped me. He's lucky that I even like gave him a shot, right? And then,
right,
yeah, exactly.
All that energy,
yeah. And here I am. It's like my therapist is always like, it's a privilege for men to get to spend time with you. Meanwhile, I'm like crying in my backyard about how this guy was like unavailable and blah 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 blah. And you know, I've been listening to Taylor Swift literally,
as we do.
Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me, yeah. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
My new blog post that I just put up, I secretly hid linked every song in the album in the new blog post.
Oh my God, that's
so cute.
I'm a psycho. So anyway, Lily, back to you. What is the new story that you are going to tell yourself around partnership and relationships? Around how you want to heal this part of your heart? Being a Leo sun, having a Venus in Leo, having Leo be one of your nodes of fate, which are karma points, which are lesson points, you have to look at the grief in it too. And that's one thing that, you know, not to go super deep here, but what is the grief part of being like, wow, I thought this was going to be different and it wasn't. Or I thought I had done this much work on myself, but clearly I didn't. Yeah. So now in the honor of the retrograde energy, you sit down with that sweet little broken heart. And you get so real with yourself and you say, like, how did I get here? What red flag was I avoiding? Yeah. What was, like, where were you taking table scrap? Yes, I'm so
thank you.
Listen, Lily, I feel like I date the same freaking loser guys over and over and over again. I get overcome by my sexual desires. That I'm like, I can't even think straight. And then I'm like wondering why this guy doesn't want to like take it to that level with me. Yeah. So I think that's like what this, your transit is saying right now. It's really asking you to, I'm going to go a little bit deeper on yours if that's okay. Like,
please.
Please, man, she needs help. Please help her.
I got you. Yeah. I we'll do like a more, I want to gift both of you a reading on your own, but basically right now with what's transiting in your chart, it's asking you to, number one, look at how you value yourself. Pluto transiting in Capricorn in your second house of values, money, like however you perceived yourself up until this point, you're going to have to throw it in the garbage and get a whole new game plan around how you communicate who you are, what you are, authentically, truly, unapologetically you, and then visualize this new way in which you nurture that and take care of that. And sometimes we have to do that by getting punched in the face by a dude again, or yeah, a chick if you date girls or whatever, or people, by getting punched in the face by these like vulnerable moments. Yes. And the idea is quite simply to have your awakening and how you have your own stability in your day-to-day life.
Totally.
Through the story you tell yourself, other people, through the way in which you learn to like just care for yourself and get back into your heart. And listen, Gemini rules your house of relationships in your natal chart. So you might have a lot of different relationships.
Yeah. This guy was very different than I went through two breakups this year. And earlier this year, it was a breakup of 3.5 years of a relationship. But then the guy that just broke up with me, we only dated for a few months, but I definitely like was more in love with him than I have been with anyone before. But they were like two completely different guys, mm-hmm. which was interesting.
And that Gemini placement there is going to say that.
Yeah.
You need a variety of different types of men to explore with.
Yeah.
And to learn from. And then you have Pallas Athena and Cancer sitting there. Pallas Athena is, what is the journey that you're on? Giving and receiving emotional warmth and security in relationships. So it's like, yeah, you're pretty much gonna, that's what you're here to do. Mm-hmm. That's the karma, whatever word you want to use in this lifetime. That is what I like to say is where your biggest growth spurts will happen. So it's like, if you want to stay the same and keep doing the same old thing, I think that that's fine. I'm not here to judge anyone. Do what you want to do until you don't want to do it anymore, right? My famous line is, get so sick of your own bullshit that you'll do anything in the world to change. You know, it's the gift of desperation. But if you want to slightly be different, just take 5-10 minutes until it doesn't feel, until that wound is a little bit less raw. And just be like, what did this guy teach me? You know, even after being with someone for a good part of my life, the person that I called the wedding off, like, I mean, we were in and out of each other's lives for a decade, you know, like,
wow.
Whether or not we were always on during that time, I always felt something towards him during that time. And it was like, you know, breaking up is hard to do. That, like, remember that like oldie song? Like,
yeah.
It was, it broke my heart. It destroyed me. But I say that it also got me back to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one day when like the dust settled and I was like a little bit more skinny and tan and I could like settle in. I was like, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I would say too, like when I got out of my relationship of 4 years, that was like 2.5-3 years ago now. So that's like very in the past. But when I was like in that relationship in a way, because of the circumstances of a relationship, I was kind of like forced in a way to not fully be myself on the internet. It was a whole thing. He was like somebody in like the public eye and everything. And that's why. But I felt like it took getting out of that relationship to really like figure out who the fuck I was and like recenter myself and like go through all the hardships. And now I kind of look at it as the same way as you do, which is like, all right, what did this guy teach me? And that's the thing that I always tell my friends now that they're going through dating. A lot of my friends are like single now. And all my friends that were in long-term relationships are single now. Like Lily, my roommate got out of like a 6-year relationship. And I always say like, when you're going on dates with these guys and you're talking to guys, even if it doesn't work out, you have to look at it as, all right, well, what qualities in them did I like that I want to carry into the next person? And then what were the qualities that maybe I didn't like, so I know to avoid those for next time. But either way, you're still like learning what you like and what you don't like and what you know, the type of people that you want to bring into your life.
Yeah. And now I'm going to throw you guys a total curveball, which I'm sure you've all heard about, is Saturn returns. And my
Saturn returns?
Yes.
So never heard of that before.
Familiar.
I don't know.
Well, your new astrologer is here to teach you.
Saturn, all right, let's hear it.
Saturn, and this is important in dating. So I want to preface, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's important for dating. So I'm going to get there in a minute. So Saturn essentially is a planet that is our hard work. It is about how we learn, how we grow, how we climb the mountain of life, right? And a return means it goes all the way around the chart back to where it was at the time of your birth. So it usually happens around 27 to 30, depending on what the retrogrades are doing at that time. So basically, you guys are a minute out. So I'm sharing that because this is about exploration. This is about throwing a bunch of darts on the wall and see which ones stick, not even care, walk away. Because a lot of people that I work with, a lot of my clients, and I am not a fear-based astrologer by any means, a lot of clients that I see, once they get out of that Saturn return,
that boyfriend from college, that guy that they started dating at 21, is not that interesting anymore because they've gone through their first growth spurt in astrology, which everything before Saturn returns sort of just becomes this like, your eighth grade graduation is a good example. You're just like, okay, cool. I was like in eighth grade. Now I'm like in high school. Like I'm never to be seen again. So I share that because, you know, who knows what the stars are going to say or what's going to happen. But a lot of my clients come out of that Saturn returns and are getting divorced, or it happens every 27 years. So it will happen again in your 60s or like late 50s. Like think of how many people, you know, that get divorced at that age. So I'm not saying that just because you're in Saturn returns, you're going to get a divorce. What I'm trying to say is astrologically, you will develop a whole new pattern of thought, a whole new way in which you view the world. So as you young babies are out there dating, like don't be so caught up in it. I mean, I don't know. That's like one, I don't have any regrets, like do whatever you want. But like, sometimes I wish I wasn't so obsessed with the story of like, oh my God, we're going to get married and like have this whole thing, like society's thing, right? Like that I would have just like gotten to know men better. I'm 42 years old, even in my 40s, I'm like, God, can I try it again next time? You know, so that being said, just be very conscious that this is a time to experiment and try and see what you like and see what you don't like.
Yeah. And just like have some fun.
Yes.
You know, I feel like I like have thought about that a lot. I feel like I used to take relationships a lot more.
We talked about this so much this year.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot.
Just like having a different perspective on, because we were both in such long relationships, and now she just started dating someone new, and I was, and we were just like, well, I didn't really follow the rule, but I was like, let's not get like too intense this time.
Yeah, exactly, and not start like planning the wedding and everything, because it's like, I know. So it's like at the end of the day, like, you know what it is when we're both 23 right now, and like at 23, you like fall in love with a guy, and then you're like, oh my God, this is the guy I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And you like want to believe that you're just having fun, and then you start getting really caught up, and then it feels like the end of the world. But I always try to remind myself that I'm like, holy shit, I'm at the same time at the end of the day, I'm literally 23. Like I'm a baby. Like, you know, I don't know how many more men I'm going to date before I fucking find the one. Like, I'm just going to have fun in the meantime. And when it happens, it happens. The one thing about us is, though, that we also have discussed a lot this year is that we are just such relationship people.
We love hard.
Yeah, exactly. When we love, we really love hard. Yeah. So we're just like, you know, open to obviously like meeting men and all of that stuff. Yeah. And like dating and playing the field. But at the same time, I find, and she does, find more comfort in just having like my one person. But I feel like I don't find myself getting caught up in if my one person in the moment is like my ultimate person. Yeah. Like it is great. If it's not, whatever. Like this guy I just started dating, he's great. I really like him. Everything's going really well. I have no fucking clue if he's going to be my person or not. But at least I know that, like, you know.
Right now, it's good.
Right, yeah. Right now, it's a good thing going. And he's, like, beneficial to my life right now. And I even said that, like, my last ex-boyfriend, I'm, like, very grateful for, because he walked into my life in a time where I, like, really needed someone. I was, like, so down bad for my other relationship. And he just like taught me so much and kind of was like the person that reintroduced me to like love in a way. And then obviously we're still like cordial with each other. But we just like have had a lot of themes this year of like riding the wave and being like, all right, like we love hard, but still at the end of the day, like remind ourselves like anything can happen. And it's not the end of the world. Yeah. You know.
And I think loving hard is a beautiful thing. Yeah. As long as for me, I've always loved hard. I've always like been like, I love him. Like the amount of times that I've told every single one of my friends, like, oh yeah, this guy. And I think it's just about learning what it means when you fall, right? Mm-hmm. Like love hard. And then if you fall down, like picking the pieces up. And the one thing that I say to all my clients, like whether I'm reading you individually or with your partner or post breakup or whatever, like the most important thing in my opinion is how do you want it all to feel? Mm-hmm. Not the goals, not the manifesting, that will all come. Like, you guys have pretty strong charts, you know, it will come, but it's like, if you're not in alignment with how you want to feel every day with your partner, how you want to feel when you're doing these things, like kiss it all goodbye, because you're not really in true deep alignment with yourself. And that was like sort of what I learned through every loser that I like let sort of have that space with me, that I never really knew. I just knew I wanted them to see me or like whatever. And I think it's also my other advice as an astrologer is I spend a lot of time helping people understand their patterns based on their charts, mm-hmm. right? So like the environment that you grew up in is going to contribute to how you are as an adult, you know, like how you talk and how you were taught to talk, you know, like that all plays a part. So as we're all growing and loving and doing all these things, like whenever you guys are ready or who's ever listening, whenever you're ready, start getting really clear about the why. And Lily, like for you, like why did you do whatever it was that made you feel a type of way about this partnership, right? Or why, where do your patterns lie? Can you get really clear with yourself and keep it so real with yourself? Because at the end of the day, like you, all you have is you. And that my biggest advice of being a person, being an astrologer, is like use your chart to fall madly, deeply, truly in love with yourself first before you even think about inviting a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a partner, a business partner, because it's that relationship when you are alone with yourself that is the most valuable, the most important, the most ride or die thing that you can do for yourself. That's what I think about it. And that's why I love astrology, because it helps people get there, or yeah, at least take a little step in that direction.
Yeah. All right. Wow. That was like absolutely beautiful. what a nice way to end that little segment. But I want to kind of touch on, obviously, because we are gin and toxic, so aside from just our dating and relationship lives, our sex lives. Talk a lot about sex on the show and, you know, spicing things up in the bedroom and all that stuff. So just kind of curious as to how, you know, astrology could maybe play a role into that. If there's any advice you would have based on our charts, how to spice up the bedroom, if there's a particular partner we should be going for, it, there's something, yeah, we should,
I was
going to
ask that, like sign, yeah, compatibility. Like, I don't really know how, yeah, it all, okay, works.
That
but
too, like in terms of, yeah, exactly. You said like, you didn't want to like use the word like, yeah, if you're totally compatible, yeah, or not, but have you seen patterns between like at least our particular signs? Is there like a sign that you're like, maybe you should stay away from this guy, or maybe you should try and pursue this person?
Well, so the way I look at it is like this. So Lily, I'll start with you. You're a Leo, so opposite you is Aquarius. So okay, you might find yourself interested in an Aquarius. Okay. Now, the other thing is we look at the sign that's right ahead of you in the chart and right behind you in the chart. Because the closer it is in the chart, the more feeling and energy. So right ahead of you is Virgo. So you might find that there's a little bit of a funky connection there.
Yeah.
Not good or bad, it just might feel more intense. And then right behind you is Cancer. So you might imagine it's like this. You sit at Leo, so you're looking ahead at the Virgo and you're looking behind at the Cancer. So energetically, those are different things. So you might feel something there. I think with Lily's chart and your sun, moon, and rising, and then what you need like big, explosive sex. Like you need like fire.
Absolutely. You want it.
Yeah, it's very, you want like big dick energy, you want big old explorations, big orgasms, adventure. I think that I think that you're gonna want to play like student and teacher. You're gonna want to
Yeah, you're gonna want to. Yes, like, and I also think with that Sagittarius over there, you're gonna want, you might be attracted to more like foreign men or men.
Oh my
My
God.
God.
Yeah, I love a
Is
European.
that
Oh my God. Her ex-boyfriend of 3 years was Irish. So, and she literally has a thing for the European. We were
I love
literally just
them.
talking about this prior. She was like, look at this guy that I was
I
like
found
talking
another
to
one.
earlier. She's like, oh my God, one of them was from Ireland again. Another one was from Sweden?
Yes,
Sweden? Yeah. I just,
yeah, that.
oh my God, forget it. She loves a foreign man.
Yeah. And the other thing with the Leo is that remember that you're the queen.
Always.
And guys are not, I mean, I don't want to talk bad about men, but like,
No.
Yeah, I
okay, fine, then I will. Then let's just be real. Men don't know how to deal with a queen.
They really
They
don't,
don't.
actually.
No.
They really
No,
don't.
they don't. A lot of men like don't know how to deal with a strong woman, period.
Yeah, we've struggled with that
Correct. Correct. And so astrologically, you really do have that very strong, big, confident alpha energy. So you're gonna need a guy that's gonna basically come in and be like, get your shit, let's leave, we're leaving. You
Yeah.
know, a guy that isn't afraid to like go toe to toe with you, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. And Christina, well, you're gonna wanna, you like maybe, correct me if I'm wrong,
Yeah.
talking. Little like sexting, talking,
Oh,
like
yeah.
whispering, like that kind of thing. And the other thing with that Cap Moon, babe, is your archetype is the boss and the prime minister. So I think there's a lot of like, and that is a hard archetype for men to address with women. It's like, wait, I'm not the boss? It's like, no, you're actually the boss. I
Yeah.
think the two of you and both
I
of you
say
are.
that all the time. I make jokes with my boyfriend all the fucking time. And I'm like, yeah, I thought you knew that I wore the pants. Like, I
Yes.
obviously do here.
She does.
And I also, yeah, like dirty talk and like the whispering and little sexting like during the day. Oh,
Yes.
that's totally up my alley. 100%.
Yes. And then, but then you want that like very Capricorn is really traditional. So it's also
I love
like,
that.
it's a
I
very
do. I
traditional.
love a slow romantic.
Yes, that's that, like that. So, you know, I think, and that's the greatest thing about why I love, I'm so happy you guys asked me that question because it's like, yeah, talk about what we want in the bedroom so that we can be confident in being able to say it. You
Yeah.
know, like I have Scorpio and Aries in my sun, moon, and rising, which are both sex planets. Pluto and Mars are planets of sex and power. So I literally have to tell guys, I'm like, well, I want to fuck all the time. So either
Figure
get onto
it out.
it.
Like,
Go figure
get
it out.
it together.
Yeah. Figure it out. Yeah. So yeah, there's so many interesting ways to use the astrology chart to inspire the bedroom. And then,
Yes. Okay.
yeah.
Can I ask you the one? Okay. So my boyfriend is a Pisces. The one thing I do know about him, I don't know why I remember this. It got brought up on our very first date that he knew that he was a Gemini moon. That's the only information I have on this man for you. Could you tell me anything?
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so
He's a
Gemini.
Pisces, I guess, sun or whatever, and then a Gemini moon. That's all I know. I don't know. Yeah. So I
A
got for you. He's March
Pisces.
15th.
Oh, a Pisces. I love. I very vibrational, very
I've heard
vibey.
like
I
the
love
phase,
Pisces.
I've heard the phase like spicy Pisces, and like sometimes he can be like a little like he has like a little like edge to him.
Sass.
So, yeah, sass is a good word. He has like a little sass to him sometimes, but I also do. I'm a bitch. So like it's kind of like, but it's never like we're never bitching at each other, but we're just like bitching together about things. If
Yeah.
that makes sense.
I don't think I've ever heard a Pisces be called spicy. They're like the opposite of spicy.
Really? Isn't that
They're
me?
like,
Think of the right. No, I'm definitely thinking of the right one. Spicy Pisces. I feel like that's like a like street nickname
I
for
haven't
them.
heard that either, except for from
Really?
you.
Am I making this up then? Maybe
Maybe
I'm
you did.
crazy. Maybe
Well,
I made that up. I don't know.
a Pisces archetype is the mystic, the healer, and the poet. They're literally very, very, very sensitive people. They just want to be, like, very dreamy. They're, like, a water sign. And then Gemini is, I wouldn't say that they're so smart. So it's like they're the same with you. Like Geminis are very smart. They're very intelligent. So they're quick. They're witty. They can kind of come at you with it. But, you know, the Pisces, sometimes there's a little confusion. You know, I say to all the Pisces, I'm like, well, just go live on a lily pad and like meditate. But like, that's not really realistic in a modern world. So they really have to be in a place where they can be visionary, where they can be romantic, where he's probably really romantic. He's probably really sweet. He's probably
like very romantic and sweet. Like he doesn't like PDA, but when it's like just me and him, he's very like touchy lovey all over me, affectionate.
Yeah.
He's also a total sarcastic asshole. So okay, asshole's not the word because I adore him, but he is like the king. But he is like the king of like sarcasm. But also I'm a very sarcastic person. So it kind of worked out in that sense too. We kind of like bonded over that originally when we first met. But I've heard good and bad about Pisces. I've never dated one before, so this is a first. So I don't know.
I'm obsessed with them. I'm also like into vibes. It's like it's a vibe. It's vibes. It's really like it really is like they sort of it's the last sign of the zodiac. So it's number 12. Aries is number 1. Pisces is number 12. So if you just think about that from the perspective of like learning, they're wise. They're, you know, they can get to this visionary state as long as they're in a place where they have the space to do that.
So I think he has a very like creatively driven job, so
and like you want to date a Pisces with a Gemini moon, like keep them interested, keep them curious, like go look at art together, go look at like more visionary, like outer worldly spiritual things together. Like you were saying earlier about how you started exploring spirituality, like dating a Pisces is perfect for exploring that together. Yeah. And especially if there's that Gemini energy with the two of you, just talk about it.
Yeah. He, on like our second date, I told him, which I think I told you maybe when like I first met you too, that I studied tarot for a little bit like during COVID and stuff. So I could give like a general tarot reading. Somehow it got brought up on like our second date and he got like really into it. And then we came home and I literally gave him a 3-card pull. Like he's like very like, is very like, you got to keep him on his toes sort of like.
You wouldn't expect it from him either, but I can tell he has this curious side to him.
And yeah.
He does have a very just like open, I like don't even know him that well, but he has a very open mind. And I also feel like when you were saying that he's wise, I feel like he's very low, like no drama type of guy. Like I don't see him like being drama, even if you guys go through things. Compared to
he's very like we've had like we haven't, I mean, like I said, we've been talking for 2 months, only dating for a few weeks. And we haven't gotten into any like arguments or fights, but like even there was did, like
I can't see him.
Yeah, being. Like no, like in the first week of us like dating, I had like a freak out about like something. Not at him. I wasn't like literally fully freaking out, but it was more of like an insecurity thing in me that I brought up to him. And he was just very like not reassuring in the sense where he was like lovey-dovey reassuring, but reassuring in the sense where he was like, oh, like come so on. Calm. Like the like calm. Yeah. Cool and collected about it, reassuring.
And the his Gemini moon means that he will emotionally express through communication.
Okay, yeah.
I don't see him like
so just keep talking. Just keep talking.
He's an open book.
Yeah.
Talk. We gotta get that birthday. We'll do that next.
Yeah, I know. I gotta ask him. He's gotta ask his mom. I was like, there's no way. I forget how he said he knew he was a Gemini moon. I think maybe from like his ex or something, like recalled it. But I don't know. I'll get it eventually. We'll pass it along. We'll deep dive into it. But yeah.
Well, okay. I guess there's one more thing I wanted to ask. The guy that just dumped me, he was a Leo. He was a July Leo. I'm an August Leo. And should I avoid Leo on Leo dating? Like, is that not maybe not the best? I don't know.
Well,
Okay. Here,
he was intense and emotional about everything.
Yeah, very.
Like, I can be intense, but I'm not like I don't act out of emotion and like, you know, I have a strong personality, but I also like put a lot of thought into like before I explode.
Yeah.
Listen, Leo to Leo is fire to fire, king to queen.
Yeah.
And so you have to get in, just think about it. Just think about it like this. The king needs the queen and the queen needs the king. Okay. But oftentimes the power struggle with two of the same similar archetypes is gonna be too much of a mirror.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like you're looking at all of your own shitty qualities in the guy that you're like in love with. Mm-hmm. It just might, I'm not saying don't do it. I love Leos. Leo is one of my favorite signs. I feel like I say that about every sign, but I really do love that energy that it brings. It is really self-assured, it's self-confident, but at its worst, it's really stubborn and it's really like a dictator and it's really overbearing. And so if you pair two of that together on the lower vibrational side, it's literally, you're going to light the whole place on fire.
Yeah. We said like when it was good, it was so good. When it was bad, it was
really bad. Like, uh-huh. Really bad.
Yeah. So I would say just like try all the signs.
No, I should.
Literally, like that's what I'm doing these days. I'm like, I'll try. Let me see. Oh, another.
I will say I've never had a good experience with a Leo man. I'm just saying, as a friend, sure. As a lover, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only dated Scorpio and a Leo, like seriously dated. So.
Oh my God, Scorpios are everything.
I actually really do get along with Scorpios. Mm. Like
it's a very deep. It's deep. It's yeah, deep. You have Chiron, Mars, Scorpio. Scorpio rules your 12th house, so their Scorpios will definitely teach you. They will open you up. They will help you express.
For sure. Yeah. My other, like my ex before, the guy that just dumped me was a Scorpio. And like, we actually had like a beautiful relationship. It didn't work out for some reasons, but like he was so good at like communicating and he taught me like so many things. And he was just like, yeah, he was like super intelligent. So I did definitely like learn a lot from that relationship.
Yeah. Scorpios are deep. They're like, if you want like a very keep it real kind of partner, go for a Scorpio.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Okay.
Yeah. Do you guys want me to just do like a quick about all the signs, like what you would maybe get from each of the signs real quick? Yeah. So Aries, date an Aries if you want someone that needs a lot of independence. Aries wants to sort of like, they want to be in it with you, but then they really need to sort of have independence in the relationship. But they're so fun. They'll start everything and they're going to love to have sex. A Taurus, dating a Taurus is like having someone that's super stable, super resourceful. They're going to want to touch your body all the time. They're going to want to like really like be in like luxurious like fur blankets. Like that's what dating a Taurus is. Dating a Cancer is about feeling together and emotional together and being sensitive together and being very touchy feely together. Dating a Gemini is talking nonstop, like just communicating together, like curiosity together. Dating a Cancer, I already said that, sorry. Dating a Leo is, again, like heart-centered, big energy, super fun, super like all over the place. Dating a Virgo, get ready for someone who probably is gonna want to critique everything. They're so obsessed with order and systems. They don't even need to do it. Yeah, they don't even need it.
Yeah, oh my God. We used to have like a best friend. We're no longer friends with her, but no shade to her or anything. But she was the definition of like the most Virgo you could ever meet on this planet. And she knew it too.
Yeah.
It was the funniest thing. Honestly, it was so funny. You sent me, Lily sent me, she was like, you know, when I often think back at this friendship, I like, you found in your like Google Docs the other day, you're like, God. You know, like that friendship happened, it ran its course. But this will always sum up how this girl was. And it was a doc called, what was it?
What our goals are.
Yeah, like girls doing things. What are our goals? Like, what are we going to accomplish?
Why do I have to do this?
We need to network with three new people this month. Like, and it was like, it was our like best friend that like we talk like we should.
We didn't work together.
Yeah, we didn't work together in the slightest. But she like wrote up. It was so funny. Yeah, God bless her.
That's very Virgo. It's an acquired taste. And then dating a Libra, that's another Venus sign. That's so sweet. They just need balance and they just want everything to be fair, and it's an air sign. Dating Scorpio is going to be a lot of intense interactions, a lot of sex. Dating a Sagittarius is about having a person to have an adventure with and like go out on the town. Dating a Capricorn is like dating a boss. They're going to want to be very goal oriented, very traditional, very that. Dating an Aquarius is going to be like dating a weirdo. So they're going to want to do weird things in bed. They're going to want to do weird experience. It's weird. It's different. Yeah. And dating a Pisces is, you know, really having that like deep, like sexual connection that sort of gives them a higher vibrational state. So, yeah. And they're also going to be really sensitive. So that's my two cents on what all the signs are kind of like.
Cool. Okay, cool. I feel like that's probably like a good point to like wrap everything.
Yeah. Kind of
like
that was
like a flash round of everything.
I know.
So yeah, this was so like enlightening. I guess I needed this. Yeah,
I'm going through it.
Really, like this episode couldn't have come at a better time. Like
we're,
I know
we're announcing
like,
the breakup like, yeah, early like, in the intro.
Yeah, in the intro we're announcing her breakup. So you're in the breakup episode. But yeah, so we recorded last week's episode knowing that it happened, but we're, you know,
I wasn't ready yet.
So yeah, anyway. Of course we give it some time. But this is like perfect scenario episode to go into things again. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm pumped. Well, yeah. Lily, email me. Let's set up some time. Me and you. I got you.
One-on-one.
I'm the queen of breakups. Yeah. I'm the queen of breakups. Like, let's go. I got you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, how about you just tell everybody where they could find you? And then also we ended up creating like a little package deal, a little like money off for anybody that wants to get a reading with Ramona. I'm going to pull it up on my Gmail, or if you remember it, just voice all your things, your socials, the deal that we have going on, all of that stuff. Tell the people whatever you want them to know.
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at ramona.sidlow, and my website is ramonasidlow.com. that has all the different types of readings that I do. I do one-on-one hour readings, 30-minute readings, new baby readings, relationship readings, all that fun stuff. And then for your listeners, for all of you guys, I did $75 off a 60-minute reading. So 60-minute readings with me right now are $125 for you guys. So the girls have the link. The password is Aloha. So that will be live for a while. And come and see me. Let's get into where you're jammed up, where you're feeling conflict. Let's help you fall madly in love with yourself. And I can't wait to see you guys again. Thank you for letting me have a place to just tell my little story.
Of course. And obviously, when you come back to New York, we would love to have you on the show person.
Yes,
it would
be
great. We'll go out to coffee. We'll do a little reread. Maybe Lily will have a man by that point. We'll go over his chart. Everything that you mentioned, your social, the link to your website, the password to the discount and everything. If you guys want to get a reading with her, we'll have everything in the episode description. Thank you so much again for joining us. This was amazing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, you guys. I'm obsessed with both of you. Both of you get a reading whenever you're ready.
Toxic confession time. That was a fabulous episode that we just did with fucking Ramona, may I say.
Oh my God. Like, tell me you're not fucking mind blown after that. You guys have to book a session with her, please.
Yeah, like we said, we'll put all of her socials and her website and everything that you need to book a session with her in the episode description. Yeah, what a stunning woman.
Yeah, I just recommend a session with her. It's like really cool to like have someone put like different aspects of your life into words and have it just kind of all make sense and like how you can really just be your best self. It was just so interesting. I fucking love that so much.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, let's get into Toxic Confession and then wrap up this episode. We have some drinky poos to get to.
Anyways, all right. This toxic confession says, my boyfriend and I were in Peru over the summer, and we went to an archaeological site called Chan Chan. Never heard of that. If anybody has, cool. It was beautiful and all, but we were hella horny that day and just needed to do the deed. I feel that.
Oh.
So we walked out of the main area of the site and began walking around the other parts of it that were being left to be weathered away by the elements. So we go to a little area that we found behind some of these ancient ass buildings and we fuck.
No.
I have never had sex in such an exotic place before. Yes. I can now say I've had sex in a 1,000-year-old site.
Wait. That's my Chick-fil-A.
Lily. Sorry. Lily got Chick-fil-A. So.
Yeah, I needed it.
Yeah, we simply need it.
Wait, I got here and Christina had some and I was like, thanks for getting it for me.
Guys, this is my second time in a row eating Chick-fil-A before recording. Last week, this is your second time in a row too. Yeah, I don't know. It just hits different before recording.
It really does.
So are you coming out with me and Paige for
a... No, love you though.
It's
already 8:30. I have to pack.
Girl, pack what?
I'm leaving on Saturday and tomorrow I work all day. Then I have to come here.
Oh my God, boo-hoo. I have so much work to do tomorrow too. I have to pack an entire apartment.
I have to go home. I'm sorry. I also didn't sleep last night.
Literally so lame. Neither
I haven't slept this week because I'm fucking going through
so lame.
It.
Ugh, whatever though.
It.
Okay. Well, anyways, fabulous toxic confession. Lily's gonna eat her Chick-fil-A, pop her pussy, and leave. So,
literally.
Do you want to try doing the outro again this week?
What's the one part that I always forget? Wait. I'm panicking.
Well, you're gonna get it. I believe in you. Come on. We said in the last two episodes, Lily will be doing the outro until she remembers our outro.
There's one part that, okay.
Just give it a go.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Gin and Toxic. Make sure you follow us on all platforms at Gin Toxic Podcast.
First of all, you didn't list the platforms.
On YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
Wow, I never say YouTube, but you're right.
Period.
You're so right.
And
DM us
your toxic confession. Do it.
Do it now.
No. I'm sorry.
No.
Fuck me. This is why Christina does all the work. Thanks.
Then you just keep forgetting that one part. You need to remember it, baby red. Come on now.
All good. I'm next time.
All right. Well, you heard the lady, so we're going to go.
Okay. Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Pray for me. Thanks.